Good to see everyone here this morning. I appreciate you coming out and being with us here at this first hour. It's great to see everyone out and about this morning on this kind of a chilly day, as it turned out. You know, this time of the year, for many people, is a wonderful time of the year. There's a lot of extra food around, a lot of things to, you know, celebrate, and all this time. Some have time off from work and this and that, and families in, visiting, and so on. A lot of happy times for some people. But certain times of the year, such as this one, also lend themselves toward extra stress, extra anxiety, depression and loss, and grief, it seems to be magnified at times, and so on. You know, even those that our society would consider to be what we would call good people, they still have trouble from time to time. And we all do, at one time or another, have trials and difficulties and struggles. Bad things, brethren, we know happen to good people. Just because we're considered a good person on our side, it doesn't exempt us from challenges in our life and difficulties coming our way. You know, trials can come in many forms. Some of them are just simply the stress we put up on ourselves because of we're anxious about something. Nothing. It may be that nothing has even happened yet, but because we're afraid it's going to, we put this stress upon our lives. And it's an imagined stress, but still yet, it is very real to us. And then there's other things that actually do happen, like the thing that happened last night with the storms and other losses and difficulties and trials that people face. And we sometimes have to endure the loss of a loved one, the loss of health, the loss of our property, or loss of our job. We may suffer a trial personally, or we may suffer because someone we love is going through a trial or difficulty in their life. And trials can be due to a number of different things. We sometimes suffer because of a bad decision that we ourselves made. We may be addicted to drugs or alcohol or other bad habits. We also may suffer because of our own reckless behavior, such as taking some unnecessary risk that caused us to endure a bad accident. Also, sometimes we contract a disease because of fornication or homosexuality, and that we brought that in one sense upon ourselves. And yet we may suffer a trial because someone else made a bad decision. Maybe a person is drinking and driving and they hit us and cause us injury or loss, that kind of thing. Someone else's carelessness may cause our house to be destroyed or other property, or steal our property, and so forth. Brethren, sometimes we don't look up until we're flat of our backs. Yeah, we don't always realize or ask for help until we're just laid out, in a sense, and down and out. And some trial has just knocked us down and caused us to suffer terrible loss. But now, how we deal with the trials that come our way and the bad things that happen to us can allow us to be victorious, or it can cause us to suffer even more difficulty than we would otherwise have. And how we respond to the trials in our lives can, as we say, make us or break us. When a trial comes our way, you know, it's only natural to say, why? Why me? Sometimes we say, why me, to ourselves. Sometimes we say, well, why me, to somebody else, or even say, why me, toward God. But we often ask that question, why? But yet, really, that's not the best question, not the best way to look at the things that come our way. I would like to begin considering that why thing and by the example of Job. Job suffered a tremendous trial and difficulties and series of losses. He lost his wealth, he lost his children, then he lost his health. And we find him charging God with being cruel to him without cause. And we see in Job chapter 14, in verse 1, where he says, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." Also Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2:22-23, "For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun, for all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity." But then Job, he goes through all of this loss, and he wants to put God on trial for putting him through something that he didn't feel like he deserved. And he talks, it says in Job chapter 30, verses 20 and 21, he says, "I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up and thou regardest me not. Thou art become cruel to me. With thy strong hand thou opposest thyself against me. See, Job wanted to put God on trial. He wanted to stand before God and say, this is your fault, and shake his finger at him. You know, how many, we want to do that sometimes. Why me? Why are you putting me through this? And we charge God with unfairness and with putting us through things that we didn't deserve. Well, in this case, Job and God have a conversation of sorts. And God asked Job a series of questions that Job cannot answer toward the end of the book. And Job realizes that why was just not the right response. It wasn't his place to question God. It wasn't his place to point his finger at God and say, you're not being fair to me, and you've done this and that to me, and it's not right. But what he says toward the end, and I don't have it up here, but I'll read it to you, chapter 42 of Job, and verses 1 through 6. And he says, then Job answered the Lord and said, and this was after God talked with Job and asked him all these questions. And Job says, then answered Job the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So he realized that it was wrong to put God on trial, that was not the approach that he should have taken. And we need to understand that that's not the best way for us to deal with trials either. It's only natural to ask why, but yet that's not the right way to deal with that. And I want to talk about this morning some ways that are healthy ways to deal with the trials that come our way. You know, sometimes, though, the very reason we're having troubles and trials is because we've tried to seek solutions in the wrong way. And we only magnify the trial. So, for example, sometimes when you tell a lie, you have to tell another lie to cover up that lie. And it goes on and on and on. It gets worse and worse. And that kind of thing. And one lie seeks to another. Sometimes when you go through a difficulty and you turn to a crutch that the world holds out and says, take this drug, or turn to alcohol, or turn to this thing or that thing. And you do, and it only makes matters worse. It only bad habits sometimes lead to money troubles. Money troubles lead to relationship troubles, or breaking the law, or stealing, that kind of thing. And then you get into other consequences that are just as bad or worse than otherwise. Troubles and trials can devastate us, but they can also make us stronger, but only if we handle them in the right way. James 1 and verse 3 talks about it, and it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know, in physical matters, we have to keep trying if we want to be successful. The athletes and the musicians and all that don't have their skills overnight. They have to keep trying and keep practicing and keep working to develop the skills that they need to do whatever. And that resistance can make our bodies physically stronger. And troubles can help us to learn to be strong, but only if we handle them in a good and proper way. James talks about that in James 1 and verse 12, and he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that is, trials and difficulties. See, in that sense. He says, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You know, trials can either make us or break us. They can strengthen our faith, or they can cause us to weaken our faith or lose our faith completely. You know, if we convince ourselves that the situation is hopeless, we get depressed, we develop a low opinion of ourselves, if we seek a way out by withdrawing from people that could help us, we do these things, it even goes so far as to killing ourselves, that kind of thing, it only makes matters worse, and it only lets Satan be victorious. He wants to destroy us. He wants to bring a trial our way, and he wants us to take a bad response to that and lead ourselves down a path that destroys us. Don't let him win. You know, trials are going to come to all of us, and difficulties come our way, and the thing is to respond to them in a way that's positive and good, and that can lead to better things instead of making matters worse. If we turn to God's word and his people, fellow Christians, we can overcome anything that comes our way, brethren. If we made a mistake of turning to worldly wisdom, you know, making our situation worse, then by all means repent of it and turn to the people that here and other places that can help you and turn things around, and things will improve. Sometimes we suffer because we sought a worldly solution, but sometimes we suffer because we're a Christian. Sometimes we suffer because of what it talks about in Hebrews 12 and verse 6. The Hebrew writer tells us, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." And yet we see from verse 11, a little further in that same chapter, he goes on to say, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Job got some exercise. He certainly did. You know, we sometimes have that kind of exercise in our life, and we don't like it. We don't like that trial, that difficulty, that bad thing that comes our way. We certainly don't like it. And as this verse is talking about, it's not joyous at all. It's grievous, and we understand that. But if we handle it in the right way, we can turn it around. We can turn something negative in our lives to something positive, in that maybe we're able to help somebody else who's gone through the same thing. Maybe we're a little bit stronger because of it. Maybe we have a little more insight about some things in our lives than what we would have had otherwise. And many other benefits that can happen depending on how we deal with this situation. You know, brethren, God's word can be one of the ways that we use to help us through trying and difficult periods of time. Philippians 1 and verse 9, the Bible tells us, Paul, in writing to these brethren, he says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." And also Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." As we learn more about God's word, our faith can increase. As we learn more about God, we can learn to love him that much more and be better with our knowledge and our judgment. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms 119, 97 and 98, he says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." The meditation means he's thinking about it. He's putting his mind on godly things and the Bible and thinking about what God has said to him. And so many things are in our Bible that we can use to strengthen us, to comfort us, to help us to get through trials and difficulties in our lives. Philippians, I think I've got the wrong reference on that. Oh, no, what I mean is Philippians is one that I didn't put up here. But anyway, Philippians 4 and verse 8. It gives us a list of good things, such as truth and honesty and justice, things that are pure and lovely and a good report. This verse says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, meditate them, think about it. Think on good things rather than bad. And then James wrote in James chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, "Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand, your sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded." Think about what that means. You know, if we draw nigh unto God, well, how do we do that? Well, we read the Bible. You know, that's one of the ways that we can draw nigh unto God. Another way we can draw nigh unto God is to talk to him in prayer. And we are assured, and this to me is very comforting, we are assured that the closer we get to God, brethren, the closer God gets to us. And isn't that a comforting thing? When we're going through something in our lives, when we're going through a struggle, a trial, we think, struggling with this thing, we can let God be closer to us by drawing closer to him. You know, Paul, he suffered so many things, and yet he was able to be victorious over all of them. You know, it's easy to get depressed and want to give up at the least of trials if we fail to consider the positive things that we had. You know, sometimes we need to change our focus away from what's missing in our life to what we have in our life. Look at Hebrews 13 and verses 5 and 6, and it says, Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And then Psalms 100 and verse 4 says concerning the Lord, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. You know, we do need to be thankful for the many things that God has blessed us with. When we ask God for what we need and give thanks for what he has blessed us with, it helps us. Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 and 7 tells us this. It says, be careful for nothing. In other words, another word for that is anxiety or anxious. Be anxious for nothing. But then the remedy is, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God wants us to have a better life. He wants us to have this peace that he talks about him. You know, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. The world doesn't get it, brother. They don't understand it. Christians, they're just crazy. You know, they don't know what they're doing. They down our beliefs and they criticize our beliefs and so on. But brethren, we can have a peace that they don't have. We can have an understanding that they don't have. When this life comes through a trial, or even when it comes to a close and our loved ones are laid to rest, we can have an understanding and a hope of seeing them again that those who have no belief in God, they don't have that. They don't have that peace. They don't have that comforting and understanding. But notice also in this verse is such a rich, rich verse. It tells us not to be anxious, but it also says a remedy for that. Giving thanks, it says everything by prayer with supplication. So we pray to God and we ask him to help us, basically, is what that part of that verse is saying. But look at the rest of it, with thanksgiving. You know, if we go to God and we say, well, I need this and I need that and I need that and I need that, but we don't tell him what we're thankful for, where's our focus? What are we looking at? We're looking at what we need. But what if we go to him and we say, you know, we have this. And we have church. We have people at church that are willing to help us. We have we still have a roof over our heads. We still have food. We start going down the line. As that song says, count your blessings. You know, if we start counting our blessings, and that's what that verse is telling us to do. You know, let your request be made known, but with thanksgiving. Be thankful for the things that we have. Think about the glass that's half full rather than half empty. And change your focus. Change your focus. And see, that is a positive and a good way to deal with the trials that come our way. Yes, go to God, pray to him, and say, I need this, and I need help with this, and I'm struggling with this. But Lord, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I have this over here, and I'm thankful I have that over there. And start counting. And I guarantee you, the blessings will outweigh the debits, you might say. The blessings will far outweigh the things that you're having trouble with. So it's good. It's a good way to deal with struggles in our life. And also, as I've got up there, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Sometimes we forget about that. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Isn't that comforting? That is a comforting thought to go that God cares about us. Brethren, the hairs of our head are numbered. It's not like we're just in a number in a group or not just a face in the crowd. No, he loves each and every one of us and keeps track of each and every one of us. And when we pray to him and tell him that we're going through a trial or difficulty and ask for help, we can rest assured from this verse and many others that he cares about us, that he wants to help us, that he feels our pain in a sense and wants to help us in whatever way he can. And we see, as we talked about Paul, mentioned him a little bit earlier, he suffered a lot of things because he was a Christian and determined to serve God. And yet, he learned to be content with what he had. He tells us in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And he goes on to explain, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Then he makes that statement that many of us are familiar with in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now we look at this and we a lot of times focus on that last verse there. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that's true. That's true. But a key word in here is the one I've underlined. Did that happen overnight? No, it didn't. He didn't learn that over. It was a learned thing. Don't you think, and I think it could be said of many of us, when he's going through some of these things and he's suffering. He's struggling. He's not very content when he's getting all these lashes laid on his back. He's not very content with these shipwrecked and all of that. But yet he learned through the things that he suffered how to be content, how to be thankful for what little he might have from time to time. And we need to do that. The key word here is learned. We need to exercise ourselves to some extent to learn to be content. And it involves some of the things that we've already talked about, like thinking about God's word, about focusing on things that we have rather than our shortcomings, being thankful to him, counting our blessings, and caring about more about what someone else needs than what we need. And changing our focus. You know, when we stop worrying so much about what we're short on and difficulties and try to help somebody else, changes our focus, changes our perspective. And it helps us to learn, as he said, to be more content with what we have. And we also need to understand what Paul wrote to Timothy. It says in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. You know, if all we focus on are the things this world has to offer, yes, it'll be depressing. It'll give us a sense of hopelessness and despair. But yet, if we change our focus to the blessings that we have in Christ and his church, we can be happy. We can be content even when bad things come our way. There are so many challenges that face us in this life. We're none of us are immune to them. But the thing is, we need to learn a positive and a good way to deal with those things. So many times when there's a loss, we say, why? You know, why? Why not? Why was my spouse taken instead of me? Why was my house burned instead of somebody else that's living a more worldly life than what I am? You know, why this? But that's not the best response. That is just not a good and healthy way to look at something. Instead, do some of the things I talked about earlier in the list. You know, look at God's word. Think about that. Focus on the blessings rather than the shortcomings. And thank God for the things that we have. And yes, go ahead and pray to him for what we need. But yet realize he's still giving us a lot. He's still giving us so much. So, brethren, I hope this lesson has been encouraging to you. We need to focus on the positive things that the Word has to offer. And yet, these things are all available only to those that are in Christ, only to those who are Christians, who have been obedient to the gospel and faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins. And then we are in Christ, and he can help us, and fellow Christians can help us and encourage us. But we want to encourage you that if you've not become a Christian, to do so while you have the time and the opportunity today. And if you've once become a Christian, but then have allowed some of these things in the world to tear you down and to disrupt your life, we encourage you to come back. And we'll, if you're going through a struggle in your life, let us help you reach out to us, and we'll do all we can to help you get through it. If we can help you in any way, in one way or another, let your needs be known as we stand and sing the encouragement song.